Let's get into the message this morning. We're starting a new series this morning. And it's a series that's kind of been anticipated, that somebody here that goes to New Life on a regular basis said, hey, I would love to hear a series about this because we need it so often. And I had to take a look at the idea that they had, and I had to go, well, that's true. We really need to talk about these things because it's so far and a few in between that we really discuss those things. But I think we all need to really understand what it actually is that we're going to be talking about. So we're going to jump into our new series called Guardrails for Our Lives. And guardrails for our lives is something that is truly serious that we need to have in our lives. And we're going to go through and we're going to have an intro into the series this morning to explain what guardrails really are and why we need them. Because if we're not on that same page, we're not going to understand the series and the messages later on. So I'm taking from a series that was put out by Andy Stanley. And I looked at it and I'm modifying it, taking a few bits and pieces out and kind of putting it into ours because it made some sense in what was going on there, but this one is written specifically for our area and what we believe in our Lord Savior here, and just part of our culture, right? Cultures are different. We all believe in the Lord God Almighty, and we all believe that He is truly our Savior, but we're a different culture here than other places. So that what was written there is not necessarily what should be. The message here. Anyway, I'm rambling on. Anyway, what are guardrails? What are guardrails in your lives? What are guardrails, period? Does everybody know what a guardrail is? I'm sure you do. You've probably seen many around somewhere in life, right? You've seen a guardrail here or there. You know, if you were to look up in a dictionary the definition of a guardrail, it would tell you that it's a rail which is placed along the edge of something to keep you safe, right? To keep you from falling off the edge or to keep something from coming at you. That's what a rail is, right? A guardrail. So it's put together there for your safety. And we've seen them all over the place. You guys have seen them. If you drive, you've definitely seen them on the highway. You know, if you have a stairs in your house, hopefully you have some sort of a guardrail, especially if it goes straight off the edge and you don't have protective walls around it. You know, the walking path. You ever been on a walking path that's had a guardrail where you can look down the edge and it's quite the fall? Or a path or something like that? And they're made out of all sorts of different material. They're made out of wood, concrete, metal, a combination of all those things, maybe a combination of even stuff different than that. But it's there to keep us safe. It's there to keep us from being injured or worse. I remember growing up as a boy, my brother had this 1971 Chevy Impala. Now that's a real car. That's a real car. Does anybody remember what a 1971 Chevy Impala looked like? It was a big boat of a car. And it was all metal. It wasn't this fiberglass or the plastic pieces that we have. It was a big car. It was huge. It was heavy. Well, my brother had this car, blue in color with a white top on it. It was nice. I liked it. And he was 16 years old, so I couldn't drive yet, but he was driving around. And we were coming back from a school event, I believe it was. And we were on the dirt road. We were on the gravel road. And you know how we all travel on the gravel road, right? We ride right down the middle. We stay in the middle, right? If you're on a gravel road, that's the way you drive. It's made two tracks right there for you, right? But when you meet somebody, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to get over to the edge, right? So you can pass each other. Well, we were on this gravel road, and we were coming up to a bridge. And this bridge in particular was not a bridge that you could pass on. Let's put it that way. You couldn't do that. So whoever got to the bridge first was the winner, right? So anyway, this car was actually on this bridge, and we were coming down there. And I don't know what happened. I was in the car, but somebody wasn't paying attention. And when this car came off the bridge, it did not pull over to the side. It came right down the middle. My brother, he slammed on the brakes, and he swerved over to the right-hand side. And all of a sudden, we're starting, and we're careening towards the bridge, and we keep going to the right-hand side. And next thing you know, we're going towards the embankment. And it was a steep embankment. And this particular river actually had water in it. And the water was deep. And I'm sure it was cold But anyway, we're going to there. And the next thing you know, the guardrail to this bridge comes out. And we hit that guardrail. And it stopped that car dead. It didn't go anywhere. It just stopped it. And that guardrail most likely probably saved us from severe injury or probably something even worse. It kept us from going down that embankment. It kept us from going in the water. It kept us from, well, it kept us safe. And I remember that. You know, that's one of those things that's imprinted into your head, that you don't forget those things. And I'm thankfully about, you know, guardrails. Guardrails are strong. That one was certainly strong because it stopped that car dead. And that's the way guardrails need to be. They need to be made strong. They have to be. They have to save us from injury, right? Guardrails are supposed to save us from injury. Or maybe even something else is supposed to save us from. Perhaps you have felt the impact of hitting one of those guardrails at some time. I pray that you have not, but maybe you have. Maybe you've seen somebody else hit a guardrail, and you know what the sight of that impact looks like. But they're made for a reason. Guardrails are made for a reason, and they're placed in areas for a specific reason. You ever notice how a guardrail is actually, well, it's placed in the safe zone of where you're traveling. Guardrails are not guardrails that are set outside the safe zone, because that makes no sense. If you put a guardrail outside the safe zone, that is not keeping you safe. So guardrails are built in the safe zone of a roadway or a bridge or the stairs or whatever you might have. They're there to keep you within a certain path, to keep you safe within that path. And they're there that way to make us aware that it's not too late to turn and not hit the guardrail, right? There are physical guardrails. Physical guardrails in life, we talked about those. We talked about cars, but there's also other guardrails and lights that are just as important or even possibly more important for your life, and that's spiritual guardrails. You ever notice spiritual guardrails in your life? Spiritual guardrails that are put there to keep you safe, to keep you from doing some of the things that you need not do. They're really important, right? These spiritual guardrails. Well, why? Why are these guardrails so important to us in our lives? Why can't we do just what we want to do? Well, because if we are brothers and sisters in Christ, we are called to walk a certain path in our journey. We are called to stay on a certain path in our walk with Jesus. Certainly in a specific way, right? So I see some of you have your Bibles out. If you don't have a Bible, grab a Bible. If you have your app out, get your app out. And I'd like you to turn to the book of Micah. Anybody know where the book of Micah is at? It's right after Jonah. So turn to the book of Micah. And in the book of Micah, I want you to go to verse 6. And I'll give you a little time to get there because, you know what? There's not a whole lot of people that read the book of Micah lately, or at least not consistently. But it's full of something very specific in here about guardrails being in our lives. So if you're in chapter 6, go ahead and just move your finger down to verse 8, where it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." We're supposed to act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly. This is the path that we're supposed to walk in life with our God. This is the path that we're supposed to stay on in life with our God, and how we're supposed to live life. You know, and the thing is that when Jesus gives us something that we're supposed to do, he just doesn't give you the instructions to say, "Here you go, you're on your own, go take off and do it." No, Jesus is usually there giving instructions or there with you, walking along with you and helping you through this process of having this and keeping you safe in your life, especially in how to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. In Psalm 119, in verse 105, he wrote in there, said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path." That he gives us a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. And that's created in something that he truly gave us. He said, if you pay attention to my word, you will be a part of this and you will stay on this path. I will give you, I will illuminate where you're supposed to be. So the darkness along the sides, you're supposed to stay in the middle where I've lit this path for you. And he does that by giving us his word. That we read in the Bible the things that we are supposed to know and supposed to adhere to in life to keep us safe. That is a guardrail. The Bible is a guardrail. Because he says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, right? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. He says, I'm going to be there, and whether you turn this way, you would turn that way, I'm going to be behind you, I'm going to be whispering in your ear and telling you which way you're supposed to walk. And you're supposed to walk in this way. So he gives us his word, and he gives us his voice that we can pay attention to, that we can walk somehow clearly within the guide rails, on the path that he's given us. And it's amazing that we do that. So if we have those things, and that's why God, you're there doing those things, why do we need spiritual guardrails? Why do we need them? Why can't I go out and do what I want to do when I want to do it? Well, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. You know, when we walk through life, we're walking through life, we're spending time in one of those bumper car arenas. You remember those things? Those bumper car arenas? I remember going to festivals and things like that, going to Adventureland or wherever, some kind of a park where they'd have these bumper cars, and me and my brothers would get in those cars, and we'd be out there, and we'd have that pedal just mashed us down as far as and fast as we could go, driving around. And what are we trying to do? Well, we're trying to get up there, and we're trying to run into people. We're bouncing back and forth. It's just the best thing. But we actually live life like that sometimes, that we're in a bumper car. And that we're smashing into things, that we're not caring. It's just like we're running into stuff here and there, you know. And the only thing that's keeping us safe is the fact that we have these guardrails in our lives. It's like that little rubber piece on that bumper car that's guiding us back and keeping us safe, saying, hey, don't do this. You're going to get hurt. But we live life in such a manner that it's like that. We live life in such a way that, what we do appears to be right for us all the time. You know, it's my opinion. It's my opinion, and my opinion is always right, correct? We live life like that. Well, that's not correct, because your opinion is not necessarily right all the time. But we live a life like that. In fact, we're counseled and we're rebuked in Proverbs about not living life the way it should be, that the way we think it should be. In Proverbs chapter 14, it talks about how there is a way that appears right to us, but in the end that it leads to death. That we have these grand ideas and the way that we want to direct our life, but it's not leading us where life is located. It's not leading us, well, most of the time it's actually leading us away from our Lord. That when we have these, that we think that we can do these things because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do them, right? We like our freedom. We like to be able to do those things. Those things, oh, this is not bad. This is not a big thing. We can do this and get away with it. But sometimes we have those ideas in our head and we take those with us and it leads somewhere that is not conducive to our life, especially to an eternal life. God put these guardrails. God put the Bible together. God put his voice in our ears to do one thing for us, and that was to protect us. That's for our benefit. God didn't need those things so he could remember them himself. He says, I'm giving this to you so you have something to help direct your life, that you can live within a certain path that I want you to live in to keep you safe, to keep you going, to keep you protected from yourself a lot of the times. Because we live in two states sometimes. There's two states of the body that we live in. One is called the flesh, the other is called the spirit. And a lot of times the flesh wins over the spirit. The writer of Romans in chapter 8 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on the flesh. They have their minds set on the fleshly desires. But those who live according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. How many times does the flesh win out on us? More often than I care to admit. That we think about those things and we're not doing it the way that God has asked us to do it. That we become a part of something that is, well, fleshly in desire. And fleshly in desire lives to a place or leads to a place that is not as safe. It's not as safe and it's not eternal for us. It does not give us eternal life. So we have those two distinct natures. Well, the one of the old self. The one of the old self is sin and deception and corruption. It's a mind governed by the flesh, and this mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. If you continue in Romans, it says that. In fact, if you go into Ephesians chapter 4, if you turn in your Bibles here quick to Ephesians chapter 4, and in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks about how we're supposed to have two natural selves. There's two natural selves, one of the old self and one of the new self. Ephesians chapter 4. And if you go to verse 22, it starts speaking of that self, where it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." We're asked to put off that old self, which is corruption. And it's corruption by its deceitful desires. Everybody has desires in their life. It's not a sin to have a desire in your life. But it might be a sin depending upon what that desire is. What is that desire? If it's the old self, you might need to take a look at that. But he says, and if you go down to verse 24, he talks about, and you're supposed to put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. This is where that change happens. This is where that comes in, that we're supposed to shove off that old self and bring on the new self. And in that new self, we want to stay well within the safe zone that the Lord provides for us. That we have those guardrails bouncing around all, you know, all that time and careening around. But inside of us, there's a problem. There's a problem because no matter what, you have your old self and you have your new self, right? And they're doing this all the time. They're butting heads. They're in conflict with each other all the time. And sooner or later, one wins out. Sooner or later, one comes up and claims that victory. And sometimes it's the old self. Sometimes it's the new self. And when it's the old self, we need that reminder. We need that reminder that, hey, we need to walk within this path. We need the guardrail because we're careening off at a dangerous angle. And God says, I'm going to put this here because I want you to come back in here. I want your new self to win out. So I'm going to give you this reminder. Here's my word that I give to you. Here's my whisper in your ear. Have you ever heard the whisper in your ear telling you that, hey, you're on a dangerous path? You need to come back? You're going somewhere I don't want you to be, somewhere where it's not safe for you. And he guides us back into the middle of that. We're not supposed to do whatever our flesh desires. We're not supposed to. We're supposed to let our spirit win out, the Spirit of God inside of us. It's supposed to take precedent. It's supposed to be the winner. It's supposed to be the one on top. It's the one that we look to. But we're all human beings. And we have times that, well, our human emotions win over. Our fleshly desires come out. And that happens. And God knew that. He knew it was going to happen. That's why he provided his son for us. He says, I know that this is going to happen. Here's my son who pays this price for you because I know you are and I love you this much that he will pay it for you. But I'm still going to give you these guardrails. I'm still going to give these things to you because I want you to stay on the path. It doesn't give us the right to veer off the path just knowing that Jesus is there. Knowing Jesus, having Jesus in our life is supposed to condone us or convince us to stay on that path. We are supposed to love Jesus so much that we want to please him. And by pleasing him that we stay on this path purposefully, not just by mistake. Your life can be so different if you're not always careening off toward the edge of something. And it seems like in the world that all you hear people complain about stuff because they're veering off to one side or the other. And they're looking over the embankment. They're looking at the side, and they look over there, and it's like, whew, that's a long drop. God would save you from that by providing guardrails in your life. And that's what we're going to be speaking about here in the next few weeks. We need to fear going over the edge. We need to fear that. We need to fear whatever awaits us over that edge, whether it's injury, whether it's death, or whether it's just separation. We need to have that fear inside of us. Because when we have that respect for fear inside of us, it gets our attention. And we live a life dedicated to God, saying, I know that you have provided this for me, and I respect that, and I revere you for doing that, and love you for being there. And that's the way we need to live life. Whether we realize it or not, whether we agree with it or not, we need these guardrails in our life. We have to have them. Just like on the roadways, when you're coming to the bridges, just like when you're looking over ravines or you're on a walking path, you need to have the guardrails. Because accidents happen. Because we do dumb things. Whatever reason you want to put with it, we have to have the guardrails.